All right, everybody. Well, welcome to our March group coaching call here to B2B Business Launcher 2.0 program. And I'm glad to be here and great to see that you guys are coming in and ready for a great call today. So as usual, we're going to go ahead and get started with live Q&A, and this is completely open. We don't have to talk about anything recent. We can talk about anything. Anything's fair game. I'm here at your disposal here to brainstorm ideas, work with you on any challenges you might be facing, answer any questions, provide feedback, advice, etc. So star two will raise your hand, and that way I can see you here on my dashboard and unmute you. You can hit star two anytime. My system keeps a queue in order of when you pressed it. If for some reason, and this is important because we've been having some trouble with our teleseminar system, if you're dialing star two and I don't recognize you, so the way you'll know is I'll just say right now I don't see any hands raised. So if you know you've hit star two and I'm not recognizing you, please let me know by just typing in that it's not working right there in the webcast portion. So if you're logged in right now in the program and on the call page, you should have a field where you can type in a question or a comment. So just let me know. We're looking into it. We actually started working with tech support last week. They gave us a fix. We implemented it, but in a different call for a different group yesterday, somebody was still having trouble. So the pattern we can definitely identify is it's happening to people on cell phones. And from what I can tell, it's been iPhones only. So especially if you're on an iPhone and I'm not recognizing you, your star two, please do let me know. All right. So we have one hand raised, and I think this might be Jeremy. Hey, Jeremy, is that you?
Yeah, that's me. How you doing, Ed?
How are you?
I'm great, man. How are you?
Doing well. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, you too. So I wanted to ask, and I know this has been brought up a couple times in the forum, but I've gotten a couple of responses to some warm emails in the vein of, you know, we don't have anything right now, but I had one person actually tell me, feel free to follow up, you know, later in the year. And then I had another one that was, you know, we'll keep you in, like, we don't have any projects right now in cannabis, but we'll keep you in mind, because they have had inquiries like this guy's in California. So what's just the best way to, you know, follow up with these folks without, like, being a pest and just every 2 months saying, hey, do you have any work, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a great question. So let me, and there's a lot you can do here, and I could talk about this for a long time, but let me simplify it because I think what you're looking for is just kind of a general rule, right? What I would do is the baseline, a good rule of thumb is every 8 weeks. So every 8 weeks, are you using some sort of contact management system? That I see that on the forum that you're using just HubSpot or?
No, I'm just using an Excel sheet right now.
Okay, and that's fine. I mean, so you could – the nice thing about contact management, you can automate the reminder, right? But if you're disciplined about using your spreadsheet, then you'll see the – you know, you can have a column for next follow-up date or whatever.
Right.
But about every – so every 2 months, every 60 days. And so here's what I do. So just based on – That's the rule of thumb. Now, what could alter that? I would follow up sooner if they said, you know, if you can check back with me in a few weeks, or, you know, something might come up next month, I'll let you know. Those sorts of things would make me follow up a little sooner. In terms of a little later, it would be, listen, it's not something we're looking to do this year at all. I can tell you that, Jeremy. You know, next year it's something we might revisit. Something along those lines, then I would not necessarily do every 8 weeks. However, I think you can make an argument for, just staying in touch in a value-added way, and that's my next point here. The way I recommend you stay in touch is the way that nobody does it, which is instead of saying, hey, you got anything, or is the timing better now, or are you ready, which is what everybody else does, is give them something they're not expecting. So if you're just kind of staying on top of the industry and just reading up on trends and developments, and in the industry you're in, again, it's the Wild West, there's things happening every day, you'll come across all kinds of interesting stuff. And you just what I would do is I would share information. So if it were me and you're the prospect, I would say, hey, Jeremy, Ed Gandia here. We connected a couple months ago. I came across this this week, and I thought you'd find it interesting. It's an article on, you know, blank, whatever. Hope you're doing well. Take care, Ed. And I would have my signature, you know, with my link to my website. So it's provide information. Show them that you're thinking about them. Something that's relevant. You don't have to overthink what to send them. Again, if you're kind of staying on top of things, you'll probably have quite a few things you can think of. And what you're doing is you're just staying top of mind. And the other thing is you're being different because everybody else does the, you know, are you ready yet?
Right.
So by being different, you're going to stand out. You're like the true pro. Even if you don't get a reply, believe me, you are making a difference because you're solidifying that name recognition, and that's what you want. So this is a long-term effort. I'm not saying, you know, don't expect a miracle, but if you have, let's say, 30 prospects, I call them not yet ready, NYR, in that list, NYR list that you're kind of following up with every 8 weeks, over the course of a year, statistically speaking, somewhere between 15 to 30% of them will eventually convert to a client, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So conservatively,
awesome.
Over the course of a year, you could expect, if you do it right, about three of them, you know, in that example of 30, three, five, potentially. Because you do want to follow up, what I would do is I would do maybe a sequence of two informational ones. By the way, over time, some of the information doesn't need to be third party. Sometimes maybe you wrote an article. You know, maybe you eventually launch a newsletter. The cool thing about a newsletter is you can repurpose your articles as what I call this effort is called nurturing your not yet ready leads. So you could repurpose that into content that you share individually with someone, right? So it could be your own stuff. So I would say two kind of informational touch points. The third one could be are you still thinking about, you know, writing marketing materials, something along those lines. Just a very simple. That's an approach I've been testing over the past year, and it's worked really, really well. It's called a 9-word email. I didn't come up with it. A marketer by the name of Dean Jackson kind of made it really popular. And it's a serious pattern interrupt because it's a question, and it's extremely short. So it would be – if we're role-playing, it'd be me saying, hey, Jeremy, are you still thinking about writing a white paper on, you know, blank sometime this year?
Gotcha.
Ed Gandia, that's it. And leave it there.
Okay. Now, would it be any – so just the email that I just got yesterday who said, you know, that they didn't have any projects right now, that's actually another – marketing agency or like a brand, an advertising agency.
Uh-huh.
So they're not necessarily, you know, in the cannabis industry themselves, but it would be, you know, if they got an inquiry from somebody doing something with cannabis. And so would that kind of change that dynamic at all? So
yeah,
it wouldn't
in terms
be reaching out to say, hey, are you ready? Or, you know, it would be like, hey, do you have any cannabis clients yet? So would that kind of change that approach?
Absolutely. So, you know, I would the way I like to brainstorm those scripts is I'm trying to think what would be – I know this sounds really hokey, but if I ran into that person in real life, like at Starbucks, and I know that's an unlikely scenario because you wouldn't recognize them, but let's just say you did. You know, after you said the, hey, good to see you, hey, are you guys still pursuing clients in the cannabis industry? That's probably so. I asked myself, forget about all this marketing stuff, forget about the email, forget about copywriting. Like, what would I ask that person if I asked them a question? And when I kind of put myself in that situation, usually the script kind of comes out. So that would probably be it. I mean, I just kind of thought of it right there. Is, hey, you guys still pursuing clients in the cannabis industry?
Yeah. Cool.
Something along those lines, I think, would work well.
Yeah. I think what you're getting at, though, is like just being more natural with it, which is something I've been finding in my communication. You know, it's like just not worrying so much about saying the perfect thing, but just kind of reacting as if you were just having a face-to-face conversation.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. That is so important. I mean, look, there's a time and a place for email broadcasts and all that good stuff, but in a world where 99% of what you're getting from a marketing standpoint is that, when you can do a one-to-one communication, whether it be a really well-done warm email or that kind of short, what Dean calls a nine-word email, that's powerful. And that really stands out.
Cool.
So, yeah, with an agency, and look, here's the other thing with an agency, and I'm glad you're asking this because I know some of the others in the group are also targeting agencies. With agencies, you know, keep in mind that things are constantly changing because unlike one client where they have, like, one thing happening, with an agency, mm-hmm. they got multiple clients, multiple things happening, right?
Right.
And they need to have a go-to writer, even if they have someone right now. So I would position myself as kind of the backup. If it's a, no, we have someone we're already working with, it's like, great. Can I, you know, what would it take for me to be your backup?
Mm.
So with an agency, you almost have a very clear fallback strategy you could use. It's very natural because they do need to, I mean, a creative director, that's part of his or her job, is having a file of go-to people. So if my go-to is out on maternity leave or they took, or they're too busy with other clients or they took a full-time job, they're no longer freelancing, I need access to someone quickly because my job performance depends on being able to deliver for my clients.
Right.
So,
it's also,
yeah, think of that back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cool. Well, cool, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, you bet. You bet. And we're going to, in the next session, so what is it, next week, next Tuesday, I'm going to take kind of a deeper dive into warm email prospecting because I introduced it back in February, but now that you guys have been doing it, I think now is a good time to get into more advanced stuff with warm email prospecting. So just stand by for that. I think you may walk away with some good ideas that are more applicable now that you have experience doing it.
Cool. Cool.
Yeah, so just keep doing what you're doing. I mean, you know, I've always said it always takes – more effort and more attempts than most of us realize. So just Bob Bly once told me, he said, hey, figure out what you think you need to do to hit your goal and then double that. And I know that's kind of a theoretical approach, right, because you don't know what it would take. So how do you know what to double? But essentially he was saying it's going to take longer and it's going to take more.
Right. Yeah,
if you end up with, you know, too much work, then that's a great problem to have, you know.
Right. Yeah. Trying to find that balance between how much time do I spend searching for a contact name and email address, you know, versus just moving on to the next one that I can find and just getting these out the door, you know.
I started
really trying to limit my time to really no more. Like, honestly, if I can't find any contact information, like if they don't have any personnel and I can't find anything through a quick Google or LinkedIn, I just move on. You know, I don't want to get sucked into that, no matter how good of a prospect they look. You know, there's
I think it's a good idea.
So.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Remember those game shows where you got to answer so many questions in 30 seconds? And
yeah.
Right, it's like, okay, well, go to the next one because I can't think of it. Right, that's
right, yeah.
The same philosophy.
Yeah.
Because you lose too much momentum otherwise. And by the way, with a lot of the companies you're going to go after, you know, it's not going to be a marketing person. I think you're probably finding that. It's going to be maybe the founder, president, you know, one of the VPs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather you send it to them than keep trying to find somebody in marketing, because there's probably not anybody in marketing, or at least.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Cool.
Okay.
Well, I can keep going, but I want to let other people have a chance.
All right. Well, I'll be here. So if you think of anything
cool,
else, just raise your hand.
All right. Appreciate
all right.
it, man.
You bet. My pleasure. All right. So, again, star 2 on your telephone keypad. If I'm not – so right now I don't see any raised hands. So if you did, dial star 2. We've been having some trouble with the system where people on cell phones is not recognizing the star 2. So just let me know by typing in a comment right there on the page. And while I'm doing that, let me go to a question from Andrea in Italy. Let's see. He says, first of all, thank you for this course. It's been an awesome experience so far. Well, great. Thanks for the feedback, Andrea. Great to have you here. He says, I'm doing some digital PR for a food tech startup. Awesome. Basically, I'm writing a press release. I will then distribute it through free online services and also pitch it to a few editors. I'm charging a low fee, but I'm quite happy because it's a new thing for me and I'm learning a lot. Digital PR is something I want to include in my services because most of my prospects are startups. And rather than white papers or case studies, they need to create buzz around what they do. My plan is to find 2 to 3 other quick wins so that I can put together a more solid portfolio for digital PR. And also have material for a downloadable case study. In my prospecting emails, I was thinking of saying something like, I'm launching the service and I'm offering it with a heavily discounted fee. What do you think of this new direction for my business? Also, would you know the standard fee for digital PR that I can use as a baseline? Thanks. Yeah, okay, so I like the idea. If you're starting to see that the startups in this arena are attracted to press releases. And you know, everyone's going to be different, but I have found the same thing in tech, just software. And it sounds like this is food tech, so it's very similar. But startups, they just love, for some reason, at least in technology and software, they love press releases because they want to show the world that they got cool, exciting things they're working on and that things are happening. Many times because they don't have a product yet to show, or what happened, the website's been up for a while. So they're trying to show activity, and I've ended up writing, gosh, it was a client that I wrote, I don't know, like 12 press releases, and we backdated a bunch of them because they wanted to go ahead and post it, but they wanted to show a history of activity over the course of a couple of years. So in terms of – so the first question would be, you know, what do I think about the approach? I think it's a great approach. Again, if you're starting to see that this is of interest to startups in this target market you're going after, but rather than say I'm launching the service and I'm offering it with a heavily discounted fee, I'd rather just see you. I think this really lends itself to a productized service model. We just say, I got this press release package that includes, you know, A, B, C, D, and E, and it's a flat fee of, you know, whatever, $395, something along those lines. But give them a fee. You know, don't say for a heavily discounted fee. Just go ahead and tell them. Because for this type of product, for this type of audience, that's going to be a heck of a lot more attractive. You know, there's no questions. There's no fear of responding and, you know, being embarrassed that they can't afford it. So if you just tell them up front how much it is and you can define the scope of work very clearly, then that makes things a lot easier and you can hopefully start a conversation. So I encourage you to just come up with a fee and you can raise it later. So I would start lower because it's easier to go up than it is to come back down. I would start lower, and as you start getting traction and more experience and your confidence level is up, then start moving that price up there. So in terms of the standard fee for digital PR, for digital press releases, I used to charge $500 to $600 for a full press release. These were about a page, page and a half. It's been a while since I've done a longer one like that. Most of the ones that I've done since then have been a lot shorter. And the last one set that I did was for the startup I told you about, and that was about 3 years ago, I guess. And so they were a lot – in a Microsoft Word document with standard margins and font size of 12, Times New Roman 12, just to give you an idea. Half a page, I think I was charging about $250, $300 each. They were very easy. They're very easy. The biggest thing was coming up with a good headline. And then really the first paragraph, just like a good press release, told much of the story. The who, what, where, why, how, all that good stuff. And then a couple of quotes. And then that was it. And then there was the boilerplate, about ABC company. So I think what I've done what I did with this company is I charge a little bit more for the first one because I had to come up with that boilerplate for them. They had something, but it was really raw. And then from then on, I charge. I want to say it was let me look it up. Let me see if I still have. I archive a lot of this stuff if we stop working together. But so just bear with me. And I think I bundled. No, this is a brochure. That's not. This might be it. Press release series, $1,200. So this is one of the series. I'm looking at the invoice, but I didn't indicate how many press releases. I try to take the focus away from, unit pricing. So I think my reasoning here back in this invoice was if I put, eight press releases, I didn't want it to be easy for everyone who sees my invoice to quickly do the math and figure out how much I'm charging for each. So I gave them a bundled price, but I want to say it was $250, $300 each. And we did a couple of series of these. So the first one is $1,200. Anyway, the point is I like the idea. Give them a fixed fee and then define the scope of work there in your warm email. But at a high level, you don't have to give all the details and all the terms and all that. Just, it includes A, B, C, D, and E. And it's a fixed fee of this, and here's what you get. Of course, you still want to keep your warm email to 125 words or less. Think of it as the first step. Typically you don't want to pitch in a warm email. So you just want to try to start the conversation. So you might even want to scale it back from there. So if it were me, I would say something to the effect of, again, kind of the standard format. Hey, I noticed this about you. And in fact, the reason I'm writing is that's what I focus on, food technology. Here's a page on my site that tells you a little bit more. I've been working with some startups on writing press releases, and I have a standard package where I write a press release, and I include this and this and that. The fixed fee is $250. But as I'm thinking through this, Andrea, I'm just kind of brainstorming here. I would rather just take a two-step approach. So instead of giving them all the details about it because you're assuming too much, that kind of takes away from the warm email, just given the first part without getting into the details. So I noticed this about you. In fact, that's why I'm writing, because that's, I mean, that I focus on companies like yours. Here's a page that will tell you a little bit more. I've been doing, not sure if press releases are, you know, part of what you're looking for, but I work with, you know, companies in your space to help them write press releases. I make it super easy, and I got a, you know, standard pricing. Would you be interested in connecting, right? So just kind of tease it a little bit, and then would you be, you know, would it make sense to connect? Should we have a conversation? And then if you get a response, then you can go ahead and give more information if they request it. So I'd rather see you do that. I think it's going to be more effective as I think through it, because you don't want to pitch and make too many assumptions in your first warm email. But yeah, I love the idea. I mean, if it's working, that's what you see that your prospects are requesting. I think it's awesome. All right. So again, star two on your telephone keypad. If I'm not recognizing right now, I don't see any raised hands. Please let me know by typing in a comment right there on the call page and hitting submit. That way I know that you're trying, and it's just not recognizing you. Star two. By the way, great job. Many of you guys have submitted your website for review. Keep in mind that that offer is still open. We have until the end of April. So we got about another 6 weeks or so. So make sure not to wait till the last minute to try to submit your website before then. Again, always give me, you know, 2 to 4 business days to get you feedback. And the place to post your web copy, there's an actual thread in the forum. Just look for that thread and post your URL for your website there for review. If you don't have it, if your site's not live yet, I can still review your copy in a Word document. Just post a comment there in the website review thread that you are uploading it to the site. And then if you go to the files area of the forum, go ahead and upload your Word document there as well. All these instructions are in the website review thread, so you know you don't need to remember that. Just look for that website review thread, read the instructions, and I detail all that there. All right, so we have a raised hand here. I don't have a name or a number, but you're on. Who's this? Hello? All right, I can hear something, but it looks like it's background. If you clicked on star two, you're on. Hello, hello, hello. Let's try it again. All right. Hello, you there. You're on. Can you hear me? No, lost you. Sorry about that. If you dial back in, hit star two, and I'll bring you back onto the call. It looks like you maybe had a bad connection. All right, again, so star two, if you have a question, you want to talk through something, you need feedback, it's an open floor right now. All right. All right, so we have a few questions. That's awesome. Let's see the first one. This is a Philadelphia number. You are on.
Hey, Ed, it's Kathy in Philadelphia. Believe it or not, this is my first live call with you because I was working full-time and now I'm not, so I'm excited to be here live.
You are real.
And, yes, I am real. And so I'm kind of behind, but I'm keeping up with all of the written work. But here's my question. I'm not sure if it's already been talked about. Can you recommend a good contact database system? I mean, I find that Excel, I just feel like it's sort of, it takes too much effort to keep track of it. what do you use, or what do others use that they find effective?
So there's a couple that come up, because I've talked to a lot of freelancers about this, and you know, there's the bad news is that there's hundreds of them, so there's
okay.
no common contact management system that I see throughout. However,
okay.
The first one I would mention would be HubSpot, HubSpot CRM.
Okay.
If you just Google HubSpot CRM,
okay,
you'll find it. And I think a couple of people in the class use it, if I remember correctly. It's very easy to use, user-friendly, and here's the best part. It's free.
Okay. Wow.
Which is pretty rare. So it's a free tool, and it's got all the standard stuff. I mean, it's got some advanced features, but you can keep it pretty low-key in terms of – the big thing for me is always setting reminders. You know, so
right.
if I talk to somebody today or I emailed you today to follow up and I want to create a reminder for, you know, 2 months from now, I can do that very, very easily.
Okay.
So HubSpot would be one of them. And then getting into the paid ones, one that comes up quite a bit with freelancers is Contactually, as in contact,
okay.
actually, Contactually.
Okay.
Very slick. It's got integration with LinkedIn. It's just... You know, the interface is really nice. I want to
okay.
say, though, it's – and they're all – most of them are in this range, $20 to $30 a month.
Okay.
And then another one is HiRise. It's from the same people who created Basecamp Project
okay.
Management. And then the fourth
Great.
One that has come up, not as much as these first three, but definitely comes up, is Zoho, Z as in zebra, O-H-O.
Okay.
Now, Zoho's got a whole suite of products, but one of them is their CRM, or contact management.
Okay.
And I believe all of the paid ones still have a free trial, so you can, you know, test it out, see what you think, and
Great.
Go with what works.
Okay. And also, here's my second question, if you don't mind, is
no, of course.
In terms of prospecting, I'm still trying to define my niche because I consider myself, I've been writing for 20 years, but it's all in-house material, so I'm not quite sure how to turn that into, you know, B2B. But what about using a Chamber of Commerce membership and literally just warm contacting everyone, you know, with the starting out of, hi, I'm a member, I wanted to get to know more about your business. I mean, is that kind of too slow a way to prospect, do you think?
It doesn't really define need. Yeah, it's not so much that it's a slow way to prospect, it's that the chamber is typically not going to be your best bet.
Okay.
Because... It is if you are a real estate agent or a financial advisor or an accountant. But
okay.
most people in a Chamber of Commerce meeting don't even know what a copywriter or a freelance writer is. They did it.
Okay.
Most don't even know people actually make money writing other than those who write novels.
Okay.
So it's just it's an uphill battle because you're trying to sell the value.
Right.
You're trying to give them the awareness and education. And then you're trying to get a client.
Okay.
So I'd rather see you spend some time thinking through your background, your network, and just kind of the juncture of all these factors, and that's what we covered in session one. And
right.
see if you can come up with a target market that it can still be broad, but
yeah.
I think you're much better off doing it that way than, you know, the chamber.
Okay. Then I'll keep working along that path. That makes sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
You know, if you're targeting real estate agents,
right.
for instance, the chamber might be a viable, you know, viable
okay.
Place to do it.
All right, Ed. Thanks. That's good information.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if you think of anything else, I'm here. So just hit start
okay.
two, and I'll gladly bring you back on.
Great. Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome, Kathy. And good to talk to you finally.
You too.
All right, let's see. We got a couple other hands, and I got, just so you know, Don and then somebody in Tucson. So just know that I got you. Let's start with Don. Hey, Don, how are you?
Hey, doing well, Ed. How are you?
Doing well, man. Good to talk to you.
Great. And just by the way, I am on an iPhone, so at least in my case, it has worked.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, Jack, you know, Jack just said hit start two is not working for him. So,
how about that?
Okay. Yeah. So I'm glad. Thanks, Jack, and I'll get back to you. But good to know that it's working for you. So what's up?
Anyway, I got a quick question. I hope it's not too far off topic, but it's something that might affect me. As you probably remember, I don't have a background, an academic background, you might say. I haven't written professionally before. And some of the people that I'm contacting are getting back to me, and they want to see samples of published work, which I can't really say I have. And so it has got me thinking. Another project that I thought of doing later on was writing a book, like an e-book, on what I've done for the last 20-some years, which is running a one-man service business. Mm-hmm. I could put that together relatively quickly, I'd say within a month or two if I worked on it, and then, you know, promote it with a blog. You could take little ideas, pieces of chapters, and make them blog posts. And that could be that's something I thought of as a little sideline. I'm just wondering, in your opinion, would companies, if you're targeting big companies, would that be something they would consider relevant as published content as far as establishing your credibility and writing ability? Or would that be a waste of time at this point?
Well, so here's the thing. That's a big project.
Yeah.
And totally doable. I just wrote a short booklet, 50-something pages in a week. But, you know, like 2 hours here, 3 hours there, that kind of thing. That was
right.
Very fast. And if it's your first one, it takes even longer. And so the payoff has got to be significant. So I would actually backtrack and ask you, you know, I think you're making the assumption that published work means, you know, kind of like a formal, you know, book type of situation, or are they asking for just writing samples? I mean, is that some, you know, sometimes people say they're looking for something and they're not sure how to describe it and they use the wrong word.
Okay.
And we might make the wrong assumption, so that they actually say published work.
Yeah, and so I'm assuming they mean work that I've done for pay that they could find on somebody's website somewhere is what I'm assuming they mean.
Which, yeah, and sometimes samples don't have to be, you know, on somebody's website. So,
okay.
Here's the thing. I encountered this early in my career really, I mean, it was it really shook my confidence because somebody was asking, and it wasn't for samples. I know a couple of people asked for samples when I didn't have much. But somebody, I remember, asked for references, client references, and I had only had a couple of really small clients. You know, they were pro bono, that kind of thing. And I thought, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? You know, everyone's going to start asking me for references. And looking back, two things. Now I see it. It was very clear. This is not a prospect who was ready, number one. And number two, you know, it just the timing wasn't right. I mean, if he needed to see references, I just didn't have them. So that's okay. A couple of months later, 3 months later, I could have come back to him and said, yeah, I can send you some references. But at that moment, I didn't have them. The other thing that, looking back, he was just throwing an obstacle there just to kind of get off the phone with me, you know? Can you send me something type of.
Right.
And you've been in business. You've heard that before. Yeah, can you send me a proposal?
Right.
Oh, yeah, you work really hard. And it was just a way to kind of make you feel like there's hope.
Right.
So, I wouldn't worry about it. Just go with what you've got right now. And if somebody's asking, you know, for this, that, and the other, and you don't have it, send them what you do have. And,
right.
And just, you know, don't make excuses. Just send them that, and then just say, If you don't have it, then just say, can you build an argument like this? You know, so let's say they're looking for white paper samples, and all you have are shorter pieces.
Mm-hmm.
If you know you'd be able to write the white paper, then just say, look, I haven't written one before. Here's what I have written, and here's why I know I could do the white paper.
Right.
Maybe the argument is, what I have here, basically small, the components, individual components of a white paper. You know, this wouldn't mm-hmm. be that much different. What I can do is I can write persuasively. I can build a business case for something, for an idea. I can write persuasively. You know, something along those lines, right? Now,
right.
doesn't mean they're going to go for it, but at least make an argument, right?
Mm-hmm.
Give them something. Don't say, oh, well, I'm not even going to try.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the first thing, you know, that I was addressing the question they had or the request. The next question is, you know, should you write something? I think it's okay if you want to do that. I've had mm-hmm. people do things for themselves and use that as a, you know, a sample. But I'd rather you do something pro bono for a real client than create something for you or something fictitious, because the sample is still the same and there's value in the sample, but here's what you're missing. You're missing the experience of working with someone on a project.
Yeah. Okay.
That's value.
That makes sense. Uh-huh. Yeah, the other thing I've been doing is I know Upwork is not going to be like the main venue of work, but for me that might make sense to try to get a couple of projects on there without regard for how much I'm going to make. But again, like you're saying, just have experience of working with actual clients. We'll see what kind of quality of client I can find. But I was actually surprised to find quite a few. I'd say just in one sitting I found 8 or 10 projects on Upwork for something construction related, which I was actually surprised there was that many. So
oh,
I
wow.
might try that for my first one or two.
Yeah, I think that's a viable alternative, but you hit it on the head. If you're going to go that route, you need to get specific.
Right.
So you don't want to be the helper who's just, you know, wants to work for someone who just needs something written. That's a losing
right.
proposition. But if
right.
you were narrowly focused like you are, and that's one of the advantages of being focused, is you're going to be competing against, let's say, 20 other people, most of whom are not going to have construction experience.
Right. That's why I thought Upwork might work for me. And I'm positioning myself on there with my profile as kind of, you know, I'm playing myself up as an expert writer in that field. Because, as you said, probably there's not a lot of other writers with that specialty on Upwork, at least comparatively few.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah. Everyone who I've seen has had some success there. Two things happened. First of all, it
uh-huh.
didn't happen overnight, and that's why I haven't really talked about Upwork for you guys,
yeah.
because it really doesn't offer – it's no silver bullet.
Yeah,
it's no different from what I've been teaching you. It's just a different flavor. The misconception is, oh, but there's all these projects. Yeah, there's all these projects, but you also have thousands of people competing. So
right.
it's no cakewalk. However, if you can get really targeted and are willing to try for a while, give it a real shot, then it could work. So one thing is focus, and the other thing, it always takes longer than people think. I've rarely come across people who've had some success there who didn't have to try for a while, you know, as in a month or two before they actually started getting something.
Right.
So, you know, just set the right expectations, and I think it's certainly worth trying.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Good luck, man. Good luck.
Thank you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, keep us posted.
Yep. As always, appreciate your input.
Absolutely, and you know, if you get some success there, you know, let us know what ended up working.
Okay, I sure will.
All right.
Thanks
Don.
A lot, Ed.
Uh-huh. You bet,
bye-bye.
Buddy. All right, so let me go to caller in Arizona, and then Jack, I will get to see. If you are dialed in, Jack, I will find you. So, yeah, okay, I see you. I see you now, by the way, Jack, so you're the star two finally worked. I'd love to hear when I talked to you what ended up working. All right, so Tucson, Arizona. I don't have a name, but I do have Tucson.
Hi.
You're on.
Hi, Ed. It's Holly. I'm actually in Cincinnati, but my cell phone, which I'm on my cell phone, is a Tucson number.
Don't you love that? How you know you can throw people off like that?
Yeah, it's tricky. Before I ask my question, I just want to throw this one thing out to the group as far as samples. Now, even though I've had some published materials and stuff, I will tell you that the level of confidence in sending out samples when I took the time to do the portfolio one sheet, it just rose so much. I didn't even think twice now about sending out a sample on those portfolio one sheets. It doesn't even occur to me to be nervous about it. It made that much of a difference.
Wow. That is great advice. And thanks for letting us know that it made it such a big difference. For those of you who are wondering what she's talking about, there is a session, and I believe it's in the bonuses area of the program where we talk about portfolio one sheets. It's called Portfolio Power Up. And so check that out, and you'll see what the concept is about and then how to create your own portfolio one sheets. Essentially, instead of just throwing samples to people, you're creating a summary of the sample. That's great to hear, Holly.
Thanks. Okay. Now this is my question. I have to do a little bit of lead up. This week was the week that I was getting back to my helping hands and things like that from the first week of prospecting. And I contacted one of my helping hands, see how he was, you know, did a little bit of chit chat because we know each other. And I gave him a piece of information just instinctively. And then he got back to me and he said, I'm thinking about adding, he's the president of a marketing firm. He said, I'm thinking about adding education. What do you think about that? Well, the little two-year-old in me said, ask if he'll hire you as a freelancer.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, no, that's just a red herring for myself. Don't do that. So I said, hey, that's great. I can give you a list of companies if you decide to go that way, because he's B2C, and I knew that they wouldn't be in competition with me, but I could still do that type of work for him in education. And he got back to me again, and he said, I think I may take you up on that. And he asked me another question about alternative health, which is another thing that I know about. So at what point, if he says, I am going to go into the education specialty, do you think it might be appropriate for me to put a feeler out that's actually asking for the business? And bear in mind, I do know this person. It isn't a stranger. It's not a solid prospect. And I never expected to be able to actually do anything for him.
I would do it sooner than later, number one. Number two is I'm curious why you consider him a helping hand instead of a golden nugget.
Because
a golden nugget would be, you know, they're in marketing and you know them well.
Because he isn't in my niche.
Okay.
And I would have had a tendency to totally overanalyze that. I know it instead of sending out the email. So I just put him in that category.
No, and that's fine. That's fine. I mean, the categories, that's really more of an exercise to help you prioritize than anything else. But so I would do it sooner than later, and here's why. When there is a need and it's something you might be able to help with, you're not being pushy, you're not out of order, you're not trying to push something that's irrelevant. You're
okay.
Actually becoming helpful, right?
Okay.
So, like, if you were to talked to a friend, we're thinking about doing some landscaping this spring in our backyard. And your friend said, well, you know, Cindy, my wife, is a landscape architect, right? That
mm-hmm.
wouldn't feel odd, right? It would
Maybe
he would ask you a couple of questions first. Well, what are you thinking? Well, you know, we don't know, but we've saved up, and you know, it's time we do something, and we want to do something. We want to create an oasis back there. It's like, well, what do you have in mind? Well, we definitely want, you know, like I'm thinking like a pond and this and that. Oh, that sounds great. Hey, you know, Cindy, you know, she did that for years. Right? That would be a very natural thing, as opposed to, you know, hey, Holly, how's it going? Oh, it's going great. You know, hey, by the way, I don't know if you guys are thinking about doing some landscaping this year, but, you know, Cindy, she's a landscape architect. And,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah,
that
kind
of came out of nowhere.
Yeah. All right. That's a really good example. Okay, that helps. I tend to compartmentalize personal from business, and that really helps me. Oh, yeah, that would be because I know him pretty well. So, yeah, that would work. Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, and you know what? I always still, when it's a personal relationship, I always like to give people an out. That's part of my personality, but I think it's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I put it out there and say, hey, listen, no pressure. I don't want you to feel weird about this, but, you know, I mean, this is exactly the kind of work I do. I'm mostly focused in this area. However, I'm perfectly capable of writing, you know, for the education market. If you find that, you know, you might need a writer or a copywriter, you know, would love to have a conversation with you about it. No, you know, again, no pressure or anything. Just, you know, maybe we can have a conversation about it. So you're just inviting a conversation. You're not trying to get hired.
Okay. All right. Great. Perfect. Thank you.
Oh, sure. Hey, how cool would that be if that turns into something, huh?
Well, if that turns into something with him, it opens up all kinds of doors because he knows all kinds of people, and he's much more open because I know him the best. So, and he really liked my website too. So that would be ideal. But
man,
I'm going to take the sensible, measured approach.
Yes, you're just having a conversation, and you know, I think it's you have a good feel for how to do this. I get what you're saying. You know, you just didn't want to push the boundaries too much, but I think you're now within range. I think it's now perfectly
okay.
acceptable.
Okay, great. I
good
will
luck.
Put that on my follow up list of things to do, which is going
excellent.
To be pretty big.
Ah, yes. Well, good luck. Let us know how it
Thank
goes.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, Holly. All right, and let's see. Jack, I believe this is you. Is that you?
Hey, Ed, it is indeed. Yeah. How you doing?
All right, man, it worked. Sorry about that.
Yeah. I have an idiot dog in the background. Sorry about that.
All right. What ended up working? I'm curious.
So what I was finding is like, I'll hang up and I'll call back, see if that does anything. And I did, and when I looked in my call log, it was registering. I pressed *2 multiple times, and it was like it listed it as a separate call. So I don't know if I fiddled with another app on my phone and went back in, and it wasn't actually on our call screen. It was on the keypad, and it thought I was trying to initiate another call, but I didn't hit send, you know, I didn't hit dial at that point. So I'm not sure what was going
okay.
on exactly, but yeah,
can
send you an email about it
feedback.
If you have any other questions.
Yeah, that's good feedback. I will tell you this. Well, the reason I'm concerned about this is I'm in another program where I'm a student, and there's
mm-hmm.
a similar call like this every 2 weeks. And a couple of months ago, I was in that system. It's a totally different system, *6. It was *6 to raise your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept hitting *6, and the guy wouldn't recognize me, the teacher. And
yeah.
And that's the first time it happened, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm willing to change companies, but if this is going to keep happening elsewhere, there's no point. So the tech support has told us that it has something to do with firmware in some phones. So I, you know, whatever that means. But anyway, just know that we're trying to work through and figure out a solution. But I'm glad that you told me. So just for everybody else, if you're hitting star 2, right now I don't see raise hands. If you've hit star 2, I don't see you. Please let me know by typing in a comment in on the page right there and hitting submit, and that way I know that you're trying to get through. So anyway, Jack, sorry about that.
Yeah, no trouble, ultimately. Yeah. So I did have some questions that I was typing in for you there on the forum.
Okay.
And the first one was about LinkedIn. I've gotten over my LinkedIn shyness of feeling like I don't have the best resume to stick up there. But I'm finding that people are really willing to connect regardless, just based on basically my you know, my one line description there. And it hasn't yielded things quite immediately, other than one thing which was kind of in the works from warm email. But if I were to approach people in a warm email type format on LinkedIn, how would that be modified? Do you see value in using LinkedIn as an avenue for a warm email type initiation?
Or are you a premium member or a free member?
I am thinking about being a premium member because it's cut me off a couple times on the number of searches that I've done daily or weekly, whatever, however they're figuring it.
So something that has changed recently, this just goes out to everybody, is LinkedIn is making it harder and harder and harder to get real benefit out of the free version.
Yeah.
Actually, the pendulum has swung completely the other way. For years, I thought they were completely stupid in giving so much away. I didn't get it. And that has gradually changed. But interestingly enough, the things that have changed very fast. And I think they have a lot to do with a Microsoft acquisition. Basically, right now, if you want to do any kind of prospecting, you almost need it's almost required to be a premium member, which is a bummer because they don't have low-cost options.
Yeah.
Having said that, I would urge you guys, if you're serious about, you know, building your business, just bite the bullet and spring for the paid one of the paid plans, because
$20
makes a huge difference. Yeah.
So
in terms of whether to use LinkedIn to connect like via warm emails, my preference is still email first and use LinkedIn if all else fails. There are a couple of reasons for that. One is you only have so many so many LinkedIn in-mails. If you're a premium member, that's going to be the way to go. The in-mail basically does get to that person as a message, but you only get so many a month.
Okay.
The second reason is that a lot of people may not see it because they don't have notifications set in LinkedIn to their main email address.
Yeah.
Right? So unless they're in there all the time, they're not going to see it. And number two, people have really abused LinkedIn. And now there's so much junk that it's just hard to stand out.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, another thing that I've noticed on LinkedIn and that I've tried a little bit is that I can pretty easily make connections with people who I do not know, entirely don't know. Just kind of go down the list. One time I went down the list, like, you know, connect. You know, anything that relates to my niche, which is cannabis, I've had success in connecting with those folks. They just kind of want to connect. Do you think that's a good thing to be doing, or not so much? I mean, I'm beefing up my number of connections, and it may help that I have 30-some connections in common with a prospect that I actually want to approach. Is that cool or not?
I think it's totally cool. There's a couple of different models in LinkedIn, and that's one of them where you don't necessarily need to know them, but if it's very relevant and you're being choosy in terms of who they are and, you know, in terms of being in the business, I would absolutely try to connect. It's going to expand your network, at least online, exponentially. and increase the chances that you'll get noticed. Also, keep in mind, many of them are probably going to be premium members, so they're going to be able to see who viewed their profile. A really cool strategy out there that's worked for several years for many freelancers is you start following and looking at profiles of people in your target market. You try to connect with them. Even if you don't try to connect with them, they will see who looked at their profile, and then just in a very organic way, start looking you up, and then realize, wow, you know, we could actually use a writer.
Yeah.
And they reach out to you. So it's like reverse stalking.
I've checked out people's profiles and then had them ask to connect with me. Oh, man, is this working?
Yeah.
You're a marketing manager. Let's follow this up.
Then keep doing it. Yeah, keep doing what you're doing. You know, you're not just connecting with people randomly. You're connecting with people in the business, in your target market. So I think that's a great thing to do. The other thing, too, is groups. I would definitely look for very targeted groups in your target market. Join those.
Cool.
I would kind of, you know, if you can kind of get a feel for them first before joining, sometimes you can. They keep changing that as well. But you want active groups, you know, that are not dead or that are full of spam and not really active. For a couple of reasons, you can contribute, and that's going to get you notice, and that is a proven way to get leads. And secondly, you can actually message them directly if they're in your group without being connected to them, which is kind of a cool thing.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool. That answers a lot of my questions about LinkedIn.
Yeah.
One other thing I have going on is I've had success hooking up pro bono projects, and I'm really happy that I've kind of followed the program of this program and gotten some jobs hooked up. I'm really stoked about that. One's a white paper, one's a case study, one's an article with a subtle product plug.
Is it the same client?
No, different clients.
Three
different clients. So definitely not paying me anything, but at one point I was talking about herding cats and trying to get everybody on board for actually completing a free project. And they've come around. I persisted. And so that's really good news. But I'm at the point where I'll be talking about a paid project next with these guys, or talking about paid projects with new prospects who I haven't even approached yet. And I can tell that some of these smaller to mid-sized cannabis companies, their jobs are going to drop to talk about anything, even in the range of your schedule of fees. So it makes me feel like the industry niche isn't even a good one. It's not yet viable. And I'm just wondering how to deal with that. It may be just to drop the fees considerably, or, you know, throw one out there that is at 50% of your scheduled fee, you know, your schedule of fees, and see what happens. Your advice?
My advice would be not to give up too early. And, you know, you got to look at your entire situation and make a decision. But if you can find a way to pay your bills through some other way, part-time work or whatever, and just to kind of keep your business funded so you have a little bit more runway, I'd rather see you do that, because I think you have spent a lot of time and effort building something in an industry that's definitely got legs. The problem is right now there are a lot of players. All of them are startups, except for maybe, and let's just throw a number out there. Let's say that there's 30 companies that are viable, and then there are 1,000 that are in the long tail, meaning they're very small, you know, one to five-man operations. If you cut your teeth with the small ones, you get experience, you get some samples, you get some confidence, and then that's the point to move to the, what did I say, 30, the other 30. Right. Now, in that 30, you can still split that up into, all right, well, there's five who are like massive, and then, you know, there's a group in the middle, and then there's, you know, the lower tier group, but still in the bigger category. And that's when I would go. So once you have these three samples, I would, instead of staying where you are now, I would maybe go to tier three in the bigger group. You know what
okay.
I'm saying? And I know we're talking
yeah.
theory here because we don't really know exactly, you know, which those will be, but you have a probably a decent idea.
I
now,
kind of ballpark.
If you're trying there and it's been several months and, you know, nothing's still happening, that's when I would maybe regroup and rethink this.
Yeah.
Several months meaning, okay. let's just say you spend the next 3 months knocking on those
cool.
doors. But I don't know. And Jeremy might have, you know, another some other thoughts, too. And I know he's got his hand raised. But I hate for you to just move on too early because
yeah.
And let's just say this advice is so specific because if you are going after the, I don't know, landscaping market, just to throw something out there, I'd say, you know, just landscaping is not really going to, and I know what you mean. I know you have a lot of passion there and you have a lot of experience, but they just don't need a lot of writing. And mm-hmm. then you've just proven that that's the case. And I would say, okay, man, it's time to move on.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Obviously,
yeah.
it's completely up
Definitely
to you, but
it.
I would, if it were me, I would try to find a way to make it work for, like, you know, 3 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, gotcha. Okay. I am also wondering if I'm warm emailing correctly. I have, you know, my personal connection tidbit at the beginning, and then more importantly, kind of a chunk of text that explains what I do and, you know, includes a link to my website. So could I read you one of those to
sure.
tell you? Okay, so title, saw you in MJ Business Daily, which is the publication for cannabis B2B stuff. Hi, Ms. Chavez. I noticed that Adaptive Plastics is actively courting the cannabis industry. I'm sure Solex, which is their product, would be welcome out here in Colorado. It's been pretty cold. I'm reaching out because I might be able to help you with cannabis-specific marketing materials. I write technical marketing content with a specific focus on the cannabis industry. My background in renewable energy and electronics manufacturing informs my work, as does my education in communications and inbound marketing. Check out my website link if you'd like to learn more about my services, white papers, case studies, sell sheets, etc. Would it make sense for us to connect in the next 2 weeks?
Okay.
Anything?
So the bones are there. You definitely got them. What I would do is I would trim some of the fat. I hate to use that metaphor, but
sure.
I think it's a little too long. I can tell it's more than 125 words.
Okay.
So use a 125 as a guide. I've gotten to the point where even 100 is kind of my new guide. But, you know, 125 is fine. And here's where I think you have an opportunity to trim would be in the part about you. I think the first paragraph was fine. The part about you, here's the thing. You know, it's the value statement is what you do for whom and what makes you different. You can kind of embed the what makes you different in the what you do and for whom. And what I mean is, if you can, just the fact that you specialize in this industry is uniqueness. It's a key differentiator. So that, then you could take out the background and, you know, renewable energy and all that, because you're not going to need it.
Okay.
You know? And again, you're not trying to tell the whole story anyway. You're just trying to pique their interest. Hey, I saw this about you. That's awesome. In fact, that's why I'm writing. Here's what I do, and here's who I focus on. In other words, like, we're a perfect match. Here's a link where you can learn more about me. Hey, should we connect? What do you think?
Okay, great. Yeah.
A lot simpler.
All right.
I know it sounds like, well, would that really make a difference? It usually does at the margin, meaning, like, you know, it's not going to have a, 100% difference. But you're trying to get the people on the fence because if they see too much text, it looks like too much work.
Yeah, totally.
You know?
Okay. That's good to know. I'll try to trim that down a little bit. And I also wanted to let you know, I sent an email with a title of simply, "You Got Ed!" exclamation point. and it was appropriate to what the company had going on, and it had actually got 3 or 4 open. So I just needed to share that. So
did it get a response?
It didn't get a response, but it got 3 or 4 opens.
Okay.
So, it was good enough, and they had recently partnered with Ed Rosenthal, who's like the old-timer cannabis cultivator celebrity. So, I just wanted to share that one with you, Ed. And, those are all the questions I have at the moment. And thanks for spending so much time with me answering them.
Oh, my pleasure, Jack. And I'll tell you, if you ever sent me an email with subject line, "You got Ed," I will open it.
All right, maybe I will. Okay.
I mean, that, you know, talk about curiosity, right?
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well, thank you.
All right, Jack. Yeah, keep us posted.
Cool. Yeah, have a good one.
You too, buddy. All right, so let's see. Jeremy, you're on.
Hey, man.
Hey.
So, yeah, a couple things. Just the conversation about LinkedIn was very interesting. I've been having some of the same thoughts. I haven't actually really thought too much about becoming a premium member, but it might make sense. And actually, this morning, I had a connection request from some person that I mean, obviously, they found me somehow. I don't know how, but it was it's some guy in California with a marketing agency, and he messaged me and said, "Hey, I'm looking for a writer. Call me today if you can." So actually, after this group call, I'm going to give him the call. But that's just kind of as an aside as far as LinkedIn. So, I mean, I don't know, maybe, you know, like I said, maybe he was searching, because I have updated my title there as a, you know, B2B cannabis marketing writer. So anyway, I just thought that was kind of neat that happened. But my other question, and it kind of ties into what Jack was talking about, just with regard to this industry that we're kind of going after, and he and I have talked about this actually, because I was kind of having some of the same doubts. I mean, I still am. I'm trying to keep the faith and just plow through. And like I said, just there's so many different areas even within, and there's so many different ancillary businesses that are already established in their industry, but then it's an ancillary business like security and packaging and all these different things that are looking to get into cannabis. So I'm hopeful that there's something out there, and especially as time moves on, it's just going to become bigger. So, but with that in mind, so the guy at the agency that I was talking about earlier, who emailed me back and said, you know, we have had some cannabis projects, but those businesses are already gone now. But now that recreational marijuana is legal in California, he said they've been getting some inquiries, and he said, we'll keep you in mind, you know, if any of those come through. So I replied to his email yesterday. I just said, "Hey, thanks. That sounds great. Hopefully there'll be more as the rec, you know, market really gets going out there." Well, then today, actually, and just since we've been on this call, he found me on LinkedIn and sent me a request, you know, a connect. And, and then it just popped into my head, and, you know, maybe this is part of some of that doubt, but it occurred to me to maybe reaching out back out to him and saying, "Hey, you know, I'm specializing in cannabis, but I can write other marketing, you know, if you have other projects," because maybe he needs a writer for other types of projects. And so I want to get your thoughts on that, and whether that would just be doing more harm than good for my position right now if I came to him like that.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I'm glad you brought that up. So a couple of thoughts. One of them is, I didn't mention this earlier, but this goes out to everybody, and this is a key thing. If you connect – so if somebody responds to your warm email with a kind of the typical – this is very common, the, you know, "Thanks, we don't have anything right now, you know, we'll keep you in mind for the future." You know, that's a – by the way, that's a positive response. That's what I call a positive response. No response is obvious, and a negative response is we never write anything. You know, we have no need for a writer, right? But even somebody who says, "Yeah, we have a staff writer, so we don't really have a need right now, but I'll keep you in mind, that's a positive one, because that means, hey, you have a staff writer, but, you know, staff writer, they get dumped on all the time. I mean, they're always slammed. So there could be overflow work opportunities. So that's anyone who responds positively, the advice I wanted to give everyone is to connect with them on LinkedIn. Find them on LinkedIn and connect with them. Here's what you're doing. You're really kind of building that name recognition, right? How many times do you have to, like, see somebody's name in order to recognize them? Right? Think about an email newsletter you subscribe to. Like, I don't know, you're just browsing something. And, oh, this looks interesting, and you subscribe. And then you get an email, like, a week later. You're like, who the heck is this? You know, and if they don't do a good job of solidifying that connection early, you're going to forget who they are. So the first thing you should do is to go ahead and connect with them on LinkedIn. Look them up and connect with them on LinkedIn. And then include a note, which you can, LinkedIn allows you to do. Hey, you know, thanks for responding to my email today. You know, love to connect with you here. And if you ever, you know, have a need for a writer in the business, just, you know, let me know. And that way you're reminding them. The second thing is your other question about, well, you know, should I tell them that, well, I can also do this. I think you should absolutely do that. I don't think it hurts your positioning. And most people don't – they're too busy to connect the dots. Or they may just make too many assumptions. I'll give you a perfect example of this. And I like to use examples outside of freelancing because I think many of them are still applicable here. A few years ago, we had someone replace some windows in our house. The wood had rotten around them. They were just a mess. A neighbor said, oh, well, I had a great guy for you. He's just an amazing window guy, very fair, very honest. I said, perfect. I had him come in. He gave me an estimate. Sure enough, he was a great price. He replaced several windows. And then one of the windows was in the backyard, and I was out there with him. And I just in conversation, I said, yeah, you see the siding here? I really got to get that replaced. But not even thinking, oh, let me ask him if he does that, because I thought he was a window guy. So he said, you know, yeah, my company's called whatever, S&S Windows, and that's what I'm known for. But I actually do a lot of siding work. I just don't position myself that way. He didn't use that word. But it's like, oh, really? Right. So long story short, he ended up replacing a ton of siding in my house that was also just on the verge of deteriorating. So, you know, did I think less of them? No. Positioning many times is really about – it's really about marketing, and it's about just the perception you create when they don't know you. But once you're in conversation with someone, the dynamics start to change a little bit. And I think it's perfectly fine to say – now, as long as it's not completely offbeat. You know, they said, well, we don't need a writer right now. What we actually need is a web developer. Well, you know, that would be odd. But it's to say, well, listen, I position myself as this. This is where I focus most of my work. However, you know, I can also write in these other areas. You know, I'm not saying they're going to hire you. I'm just saying that it's worth reaching out because you never know. You might be the guy standing out there saying, well, yeah, I do need that siding replaced.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Cool. Yeah. For sure. Cool. Yeah. Just like I said, I didn't want to, you know, obviously I know it's all in, like you said, just positioning and even just the way you present yourself through the communications. And it's the, you know, what you're putting out there, but I didn't want it to seem like, oh, I'm just trying to get any job that you have, you know what I mean? But
yeah. And I think you can frame that in a very credible way, Jeremy, right? Because you have writing experience.
Right.
So, you know, you could say, hey, I've actually written in other industries, including, you know, X, Y, and Z. This actually wouldn't be so, you know, just if you had a need there, I can fill it. Where I'd love to talk with you about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, cool. Thanks, man. I will definitely do that. And plus, like I said, I feel like he kind of put it, you know, he took the last action. You know, like I said, I responded to his email, and then he actually found me on, searched me out. I don't know if he was on my site, because I have, you know, the button to my LinkedIn account on my site. And so he took the next step and reached out to me via LinkedIn, so I figure it would kind of be a perfect opportunity to just, you know, hey, by the way, you know, you have another need.
Yeah. So there you go.
Kind of keep the momentum going that way. So, well, cool.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Yeah. Good stuff. Okay. So, again, star two, if you have a question, we got a couple more minutes. If anyone still around and wants to ask a follow-up question or anything new. And again, if star two is not working for you, just let me know by typing a comment so I can see that you're there trying to raise your hand. We'll hopefully get this thing sorted soon. Holly, and I know you're still on, so I know you submitted a website for review. I'm doing reviews tomorrow, so I will I'll get that review done by the end of business tomorrow and post it there in a website review thread. So just want to make sure you knew I hadn't forgotten about you. All right, I don't see any other questions, so we'll go ahead and wrap up. As usual, we'll post the replay by tomorrow. Let's continue the conversation in the forum. Any questions, you guys know I'm there. I'm happy to, you know, run through ideas with you, answer questions, whatever it takes. And then next week, we're going to release a new session on warm email prospecting, and this is great. I mean, I can tell you guys are out there. You're making it happen. I'm going to give you some new ideas. Nothing in there is going to be completely revolutionary. I would have given you all that stuff ahead of time, but I'm going to give you stuff that's going to make more sense now that you've been practicing, now that you've been sending warm emails. So just some additional ideas, some things to keep in mind to help you refine what you're doing and get even better results. So be on the lookout for that next week. And you guys have a great weekend, great rest of the week. We'll talk again real soon. Take care, everyone.